Well, during the bottom of the hour news break there, Jeff and I just solved the world's problems and have a plan for the younger youth and saving and reteaching them just simply by making them spend a little more time outside. So now that we've got the world's problem solved, let's help solve your problem. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, starting in Ahwatukee with Tammy. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi.
Morning, Tammy.
Hi. Nice to talk to y'all this morning.
Thank you.
I bought 4 multi-trunk pygmy palms to put in these large planters around my pool. And I after I had them planted for about a week, I did some B1 in them. And they're still looking like they're struggling. I've only had them planted. It's probably been about a month now, and there's one that really looks like it's struggling.
Okay.
And my husband and I are going back and forth on whether or not we're watering it enough. I'm afraid because they're in planters, I don't want to water it too much and waterlog it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the proper amount in a planter to water in this heat?
Okay. Do those planters have good drainage? Are there little weep holes at the bottom? Are they?
Yes.
Okay. Believe it or not, you probably have to water them more that they're in a planter than you would if they were planted in the ground. That's basically you've got them in a pot. So it's probably not a watering situation. Pygmy date palms or Phoenix Robelinis planted this time of the year out in full sun are going to burn. They're going to turn yellow. The tips are going to start to get brown. Not that they won't take full sun, but usually when you went and bought those, they're indoors and in an air conditioned building, and you brought them home and you stick them outside. They're surrounded by the swimming pool and the cool decking and stucco walls and the reflected heat off of everything and the reflection off the water, and you put them in full sun. That's probably more of an issue than it is the watering.
Outside.
Yeah. But they're probably in a shaded, cover over the top of them. But to answer your question about the watering, I would probably water them, since they've only been in the ground a couple of weeks, you said, probably every 2 or 3 days, I'd give them a long drink of water.
Give us a ring in a couple of weeks and let us know how they've recovered. Let's move to Chandler and bring Stephanie into the conversation. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have a Texas ash that's in a raised flower bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 5 feet wide, and I did dig the hole about, I'd say, 5 feet deep when we first planted it.
Okay.
It's been in the ground for 3 feet now, 3 years, and barely any growth at all.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things. We have a little saying in the nursery business when we plant something, is that the first year plants kind of sleep, and the second year they kind of creep, and the third year they usually explode and they leap. But ash trees, or deciduous trees, usually grow much faster than that. I mean, it's not uncommon for those to double in a year, double in size in a year. Does it have a pretty healthy appearance to it?
I'm sorry?
Does it look healthy?
It does. I do soak it about every, other week, every week or so.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I have an ironwood that's been in the ground for 30 years next to it, and it's been in the flower bed as well, and it's flourishing. It's starting to take it over.
Okay.
And I wanted to see if that tree is possible to replant, transplant it, because I have a...
Yes. You'd want to wait until the wintertime. Ash trees are sold generally as a bare root. So wait until the wintertime when it goes completely dormant. Prune the tree back severely. And then dig up the tree. Try to keep as much roots as you can intact. And you almost want a mirror image of the roots and the branches. They should almost be the same size. And then go ahead and move it to its new location. Plant it. And don't water it. Let it start to leaf out again in the springtime before you start watering it.
We appreciate the call and good luck. Those are pretty green.
Uh-huh.
The ash trees. We've got a row of them, and just a very deep, rich green. Your mesquites have green. The Palo Verdes have green, but they're much lighter. That deep
almost a lime.
Yeah.
Kind of shiny, bright, fluorescent green. Yeah, they're pretty.
Let's bring Wayne into the conversation and see how we can help him on the topic of trees again. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, guys. Great show. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I got an issue. I have some, now they I lost the name of the tree, the sisu tree.
Uh-huh.
I've got some sisu trees. And I took some out of the backyard a couple of years ago because they were just too much mess with the pool. And it took me about 2 years to kill the root system. I mean, I had to kill out my lawn and
yes.
everything
yes.
to kill them. Now, I've got I live on a county island, so I flood irrigate in the area where these other trees are. I've got three that I want to take out because they're tearing up my driveway. They're going, 60 feet away. In the opposite direction of the irrigation. They're just a mess. So I wanted to find out if there's a way to treat them before taking them out that kind of kills the root system as you're getting ready to remove them.
You know,
any suggestions?
I'm helping a buddy right now who called me up, who same situation, and he literally dug up the stumps. I mean, he's got a hole that I could dang near fit in. Cut the stump off, 3 feet below the ground, painted brush and stump killer all over it, drilled holes, took the axe and scarified it and poured some more brush and stump killer on it. He's got baby sisu trees that are coming up from sucker roots over in his entire yard. He was out there with a pick and a shovel trying to dig up and follow these roots and digging them up. I'm like, man, it's 110 degrees out there. There's got to be a better way of doing this. But what I had told him to do and what I'd suggest doing is just to get some a 2,4-D product, or especially if it's in a lawn, something we'd want to kill the grass and just keep applying just to those localized areas as you start seeing those little baby trees, popping up from adventitious shoots from the roots, and just keep applying them. Because literally we dug, we stump ground, we did everything to the stump, and they're still popping up, and they're coming up from roots that are 50 feet away.
There's a lot of tree specialists, arborists that won't plant one.
Right.
Won't deal with them, won't mess with it, because it's exactly that. And 50 feet away it's coming up.
And I don't have a problem with you planting sisu trees in a desert area, in a gravel area. I don't have that problem. It's when they're planted in a lawn, where they're getting all that water and the shallow root system that a tree develops by being planted in the lawn, they're a nightmare.
Let's scoot down to Tucson and bring Jeff into the conversation and see what he's working on this morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I've got some sage bushes that border my front door, and I've been shaping for a lot of years, but now some of the heavy branches are out near the edges, and I can't really keep it controlled
right.
back, and I just didn't know how far or what time of year I should be able to cut that way back.
It's kind of the same question the guy at the Oleander had a while ago, where, he'd been keeping that plant trimmed at 3 feet, 3 feet, 3 feet, and then sooner or later you go to cut it back, and it's just all this old growth, all this old woody stems are down there, and it really looks bad. So you can take that sage and cut it way back too. I mean, you could take it a foot above the ground and cut it back and let it regrow back out again.
Just don't cut it to look like a lollipop, please.
Well, and that's what happens, and that's just, unfortunately. Well, we can go into a whole show on plant placement and why things get, treated and turned into cubes and basketballs. I don't know, but
and it's always right at the time the purple bloom,
the flowers
comes out,
are coming out,
and
yeah.
they come along with a hedge and vroom.
Yep.
I don't get that at all, but they're I don't know that they've got quite the hardiness of oleanders, because I've never really tried to take one
uh-huh.
out, just because they don't get all that big. They stay a nice decent size, but
well, some of
man,
them do,
sure...
some of them don't, and like I said, that just goes back to the fact that if you'd have planted a plant next to his door, they framed his door. I got that point. Plant something that fits the area, so you don't have to trim it. So you plant a Texas sage, and some of those varieties can get 5-6 feet tall and 4 or 5 feet wide, and you plant that 3 feet from your walkway up. Well, you're constantly trimming 2 feet off of it, so it's just a usually,
it can take those trimmings. They're hardy, but it just doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. No, that's not how nature intended things.
As we take care of a call, that's opens a line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you. Steve, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have a good question here on my green chili plants. I am growing a couple different varieties of New Mexico chilies and jalapenos.
Okay.
And as of late, they're producing real small, almost retarded-looking chilies. Shriveled up, and they're turning color real fast. I don't know if that's just the time of year. Some of the plants have been down for over a year. Some are just planted probably about 3 months ago.
Okay. It's the heat.
Is it the heat?
It's just the heat. You know, and sometimes you'll get that, I think you called it retarded growth.
It's shriveled and it's small.
Sometimes the insects could cause that. Sometimes you get a thrip or something that does a little wound on the blossom end side of that fruit, and it just kind of deforms it to grow. But it's the heat. Your chilies and whatnot. Nothing's growing right now. They're just going to be small. They're going to mature quicker. They're going to go ahead and turn that red or yellow, whatever that happens to be, much faster. The good news is you've got those things through the worst part of the summer. Come fall, they should start producing again, and that's when you'll get your great big huge hatch type chili sizes. Is more in the fall than you will in the summertime.
Okay, and then one of them is kind of a yellowing at the tips of the leaves at the bottom of the plant. Not all of them, just one of them, and they're in the same bed.
Okay, you get some Epsom salts.
Okay.
Magnesium sulfate, but you can get some Epsom salts and start feeding your peppers with that. That sometimes will help in the fruit size. If it's not a sunburn on that yellow leaf, if it's something else, it's very well could be a minor nutrient deficiency, and usually a little bit of Epsom salts added to it and watered in will help.
And this time of year, and as a great plant to grow, okra.
Yeah.
That's a great hot weather. Peppers, mine burned up a month ago.
I didn't do many peppers this year. My tomatoes all grew up. But, the okra, eggplant, and even the fruit of the eggplant right now is going to get almost blanched white color and not get very big. But they're still producing. And they will start producing again heavily as soon as it starts to cool down a little bit. And then the little spinach that we grow called Malabar spinach does real well in the summer. Other than that, there's not much you can do now.